Welcome to the second part of the Rav's Yahrzeit Shiur on Kiddush and Havdalah. Just to review the last point that we made, and that is that the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, Rav Tzoli Shal Erev Shabbos B'Shabbos. So Rav recited Kiddush and Tefillah on Erev Shabbos after he was Mekabel on himself Tosefes Shabbos Mibodyom before nightfall. And then the Gemara raises the question, would Rav be able to recite Kiddush al Akos at that time period, during the period of Tosefes Shabbos, before nightfall? We spoke about the fact that the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis that there are two Kiddushes. There's this Kiddush of Tefillah and the Kiddush al Akos. And we were wondering what's the need for two and what is the fundamental difference between the Kiddush that we recite in Tefillah and that which we recite al Akos. And the Rav explained that Tefillah, in addition to being a Cheftza of Tefillah on Leil Shabbos, it also has the status of a Kiddush. And Kiddush was integrated into Tefillah. And we have an identity between Tefillah and Kiddush. That's one key. That mitzvah of Kiddush is generated by Shomeres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, by that aspect of Kiddushas Hayom, which is Isur Malacha, which expressed itself in Shomeres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, and the Gemara has a hekesh between Shomer and Zocher. So the mitzvah of Kiddush is generated and emerges from that dimension of Kedusha Shabbos, of Shomeres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, of Isur Malacha. And that Kiddush can be fulfilled during the time period of Tosefes Shabbos, once he's Mekabel on himself, even Mibod Yom, the Isur Malacha, and the Kedusha Shabbos L'Nyan Isur Malacha. In addition, we have an entirely different mitzvah of Kiddush, and that mitzvah of Kiddush is recited as part of and to generate the Suda Shabbos. The Mechayev of that Kiddush is Suda Shabbos. Kiddush is the kickoff of Suda Shabbos, and is Koveh the Suda as a Suda Shabbos. We'll discuss this in Mirtz Hashem in a few minutes, and we'll expand on it. First, let's give another look, a second look, at the concept of Kiddush and Tefillah B'Tzilusa, and that is that the Rav says, just to quote his words, that not only is Tefillah a Cheftz of Tefillah on Leil Shabbos, but in addition, it is a, he calls it a Chativa Miuchedet Shel Kiddush. It is an entity of Kiddush. This formulation is very, very significant because a number of the later Achronim, especially the Chayodom and the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan is in Simon Reish Samaches Sifkat and Tes. You'll find in Chayodom, in Klal, Chavches Sifkat and Vav. They both point out a very strange phenomenon with regard to the relationship between Tefillin and between Tefillah, excuse me, and the mentioning of the day. From where do we know? From where do we derive the halacha that in Tefillah we have to mention a special day, a day that is endowed with its own Kiddush Hayom, with its own mitzvahs? Where do we know that from? Yeah, the Gemara derives it from B'chol Yom V'Yom Tein Leo Me'ein Berchosof. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom means that in Tefillah, Chazal established an obligation to express the day, to remember the day. And that's classically what we call Yalev V'Yavo. I mean, there are other askaras too, but if we focus on Yalev V'Yavo, we'll notice a fundamental distinction between Shabbos and Moed on one hand, and Chol HaMoed on the other hand. Let's take the classical case of Yalev V'Yavo and Chol HaMoed. We daven a Tefillah Shmon Esrei, the regular Amida, and we add an Azkara. And that's called Yalev V'Yavo. Notice that the Azkara doesn't gain its own bracha, but rather it's integrated into the fabric of Shmon Esrei. On Shabbos and Moed, on the other hand, the mitzvah of Hazkaras Hayom takes on a different form. The bracha emtzayis, which we call the Kedush Sayom, is just that. It's a bracha that is completely dedicated to remembering and mentioning the day, and it culminates with Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, so that in this case, the Azkaras Hayom is couched, is framed in a bracha, in the structure of a bracha. Whereas, as we said before, in other cases of Azkaros, classically Chol HaMoed is an example, we have a mentioning of the day in embedded and integrated into Shmona Esrei, but it doesn't form its own bracha. So the obvious question is, why is it that on Shabbos and Yontif, Tefillah takes on a different form, and the mitzvah of Hazkara is now fulfilled in the very fabric of a bracha of Shmon Esri, in this case the middle bracha, the bracha of Kiddush Sayom? And it would seem to me that the answer to this question perhaps lies in what the Rav is saying, that tefillah on Shabbos, in addition to being a mitzvah of tefillah, which applies the whole week and the whole year, is also takes on a new personality, a new identity. It becomes an entity of Kiddush. And Kiddush, of course, is a mitzvah that we fulfill in a structure of a bracha. And that's true not only for Kiddush in Tzilusa, but also Kiddush Alakos. In the case of Tzilusa, the identity between Tefillah and Kiddush is so strong that Kiddush itself integrates into the fabric of the Shmon Esrei and becomes the Brochem Tzoyis. Of course, we still have to answer the question, why is it that Kiddush is identified with Tefillah? What's the reason that such an identity is forged and created? Offhand, you might say that Kiddush is not related to Tefillah at all. With regard to the mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos, which is generated by the full-fledged Kedushas Hayom, Le'inyan Kibud V'Oneg, and the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, we find that the halachas of Kiddush reflect the relationship between Kiddush and Su'uda. Number one, the Iser Te'ima Kodim Kiddush, which according to some Shitos, you'll see that in Shmuel, in Psachim Kuvav Amid Beis, Ta'am Einu Mekadesh, it means that Kiddush has to set up the Suda in such a way that there was nothing that came before it. There was no Achila that preceded the Achila of post-Kiddush. So if you had an Achila before Kiddush, then Kiddush loses its special status as the beginner of the Achila Shabbos. It has to kick off the Achila Shabbos and set up that Achila as a Suda Shabbos. In such a case, we understand why Ein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda. Why does Kiddush have to be recited Dafka in a Makom Suda? Why can't you recite Kiddush in one place and then eat your Suda in another place? The answer is that there has to be a direct connection, a Mitzarev, that links up the Kiddush with the Suda. And in this case, the Mekadesh is the Makom. Once you recite Kiddush and then eat the Suda in that place, the Kiddush links up, it hooks up to the Suda, and now the Suda is a Suda Shabbos. In effect, what we find is something very unique in Kiddush Alakos. And we don't find it in other mitzvahs. We don't find, for example, that if you're not allowed to eat before davening, that might impact on and undermine your davening. Your tefillah remains the same tefillah, as a separate Issur. But here, the whole purpose of the Kiddush is to fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, of Suda Shabbos. The Kiddush has to be related to the Suda. And if there was an Achil before the Kiddush, in effect, you are pogea in the Kiddush. You are saying, you know what, I can have an Achil with Shabbos even without Kiddush. And that undermines Kiddush itself. In the light of the Rav's Chiddush, we can begin to understand analyze, dissect the sugyan psachim daf kuf amid aleph. We have three shitos in the sugyan psachim regarding the case of someone who began a suda or a chabura that began a suda mibod yom on Friday afternoon before nightfall. And there are three logical possibilities. One is to say, okay, he started a suda on Erev Shabbos, it's a suda schol, let him continue that suda, finish it, and then recite Kiddush. The other possibility, on the other extreme, is to say, no, he's got to immediately terminate his suda schol and set up a new suda, which is a suda Shabbos, and that, of course, has to be preceded by Kiddush, because Kiddush always has to come before a suda Shabbos. The third possibility would be to stop the suda midway, but not to terminate the suda. Just allow for the first half of the suda to be a suda schol, and the second half to be a suda Shabbos by reciting Kiddush right there in the middle. In fact, we find three shitas. The shita of Rabbi Yehuda is mafsikin l'shabbosos. If it now becomes dark, he has to immediately terminate his suda, which he began on Chol, and he does so through a akiras hashulchan. He takes away the table on which he was eating. In those days, they used to eat each person on his own private little table. Number two, he has to bench. Now his suda's Chol is terminated. Now he recites Kiddush, then washes his hands and begins a suda. According to Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, ein mafsikin. He doesn't have to stop his suda. His suda started on Chol, let him continue it. And after he completes it, and he benches, then he can recite Kiddush. The third shita, which is in the Amoraim, is Pores Mapa Umekadesh. And the Rav explains these three shitos. And let's just reiterate some of the questions that we had on this sugya. Number one, why does Rabbi Yossi permit a person who began his suda on Chol to continue his suda? Now it's already Kiddush Sayom, it's nightfall, he should be obligated to the mitzvah of Kiddush. Number two, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do we require Akira Shulchan and benching before he recites Kiddush? Simply, let him take a break in the middle of his Suda, recite Kiddush, and continue with his Suda, with Achil and Shasia. We understand very well that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the moment the stars come out, the moment of nightfall, he's obligated in the midst of Kiddush, and he's not allowed to eat before Kiddush. But even if Rabbi Yehuda holds that he started the Suda Beheter, now he has to recite Kiddush, and we understand he has to stop his eating so that he recites Kiddush, but nevertheless, we don't understand, why does he have to bench before Kiddush? Let him take a break in his Suda. We find, for example, in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, a person who on the first day of Sukkot began eating a meal, and then in the middle, he realizes it's time, or he has the opportunity to take the luav in the middle of his suda. So that's exactly what he'll do. We never found any tana who says that he has to bench and then take the luav. He can take the luav in the middle of his meal. Why is Kiddush different than luav? In both cases, we're dealing with a mitzvah asei shel Torah. And the third question we want to raise is, Poreis Mapa Mekadesh, he covers the lechem, he organizes his Kiddush, Alayayin. Why does he need this precess mappa to cover the lechem? In lulav, again, if in the middle of a suda, during the day of the first day of Sukkot, he would have to take the lulav, would we find that he has to cover his bread? Now, the source for this halacha of precess mappa is most likely the halacha brought down in Psachim Daf Kuf Amid Beis in this case, v'shaven she'ein mevinas hashulchan ela imkein kiddush. They used to bring out the shulchan with the food on Shabbos after he recited Kiddush. So first there was Kiddush, then there was Havas hashulchan. And Tosus quotes Rav Achai Gaon,
Ki hechi detesei sudasa biyakar deshabsa. In other words, the suda has to be brought out lichvod Shabbos. And here also, if he doesn't cover the challahs, apparently it's not considered a suda lichvod Shabbos. But that has to be understood. What's the nature of this halacha of covering the challah so that the suda be brought out lichvod Shabbos? What we derive from this sugya is simple but yet very fundamental. The obligation to recite Kiddush on the Kos is not a result of the Kiddushas Hayom itself. It's not that Kiddush is a mitzvah with its own independent kiyum without any connection to Shabbos, but rather, the essence of Kiddush al HaKos is Kvius Sudas Shabbos. You have to be Koveya the Suda as a Suda Shabbos. It's the Kiddush that impacts and creates the nature and the halachic status of a Suda Shabbos. Without Kiddush al HaKos, the Suda is deficient, it's lacking in the very personality, in the very nature, in the very chalos of a Suda Shabbos. There's a halach of kvius, and this halach of kvius we find not only on Shabbos. The halach of kvius in relationship to Suda is a universal halach. A chaloshem Suda depends upon kvius. There's no such thing as a Suda without a Maisa Koveya, to set up a Suda, set up a meal, and give it the complexion of a Suda. For example, the halacha of Pas, that Lechem is a Koveya in Suda. And the Gemara says in Brachos, on Daf Mem Beis, that there's a halacha called Pas Haba Bekisnet, that if a person takes this kind of bread, which is, let's say, packaged, you know, it has some filling in it, and all the different halachas of Pas Haba Bekisnin, and he decides to set up his Suda on that Pas Haba Bekisnin, then he benches, he makes a bracha of Hamotzi and he benches. Or, for example, the halacha of Kvius Chabura for Zimun is also halacha of being Koveya Suda, in this case being Koveya the Suda, as a Suda that's related to the entire Chabura. Not one individual makes the bracha, but rather they make the bracha together as one entity, as one group, because they were Koveya Suda together. So this halacha of Kvir Suda, to be Koveya, that is a Chalashem Koveya, is a halachic concept that we're well familiar with. Not just with regard to Shabbos, but with regard to Shabbos, the halach of Koveya takes on a whole new meaning. And what's the purpose of being Koveya, a Suda on Shabbos? Why isn't it identical to all the halachas, the rules that apply to being Koveya Suda during the week? And the answer is, because there are two dimensions to Suda. There's a Suda's Chol, and insofar as Shabbos is a Suda like any other Suda, then all the halachas of Kviyas Suda apply. But in addition, on Shabbos, the Suda takes on a whole new dimension. The mitzvah of Achil on Shabbos, of Oneg Shabbos, is not just to eat on Shabbos. It's not that any Achil on Shabbos is a mitzvah of Oneg, but rather the mitzvah is to eat a Suda Shabbos. Now we have to upgrade and change the whole nature of the Suda, from that of a Suda Schol to a Suda Shabbos. How do we achieve that goal? How do we change the nature of the Suda and create a Suda Shabbos? The answer is through Kiddush al HaKos. Kiddush al HaKos does this. It accomplishes this goal. All the normal kovim, such as Pas, or the fact that we sit down together, Heseba of a Chabura together, all those factors that generate a Suda are not sufficient with regard to creating a Suda Shabbos. To, as we said before, transform the Suda and inject into it the personality, the status of a Suda Shabbos. There's a Gzeres HaKosav, the Torah says in Shmos Tezvav, Pasuk Chav Hei, Uchlu Hayom, and the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis derives from this Pasuk, the halacha of three Sudos, that on Shabbos we're required or obligated to eat three Sudos. The only way of generating that Suda, which lends itself to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Uchlu Hayom, is through Kiddush al HaKos. Again, as far as Kiddush as a separate mitzvah of Zachar's Yom HaShavuos Lekadesh, that he's already fulfilled in Tefillah and Tzilusa. So Kiddush now, Alakos, takes on a whole different meaning. It belongs to a different mitzvah. It's not a kiyum of Zachar as an independent mitzvah of Kiddush, but rather it's a mitzvah of Oneg, of Seuda. The Rav did not go into detail here to address the question whether or not the second Kiddush, namely the Kiddush Alakos, is a Tosefes, is a Hashlama, a supplement or a complement, we'll call it, to the mitzvah of Kiddush which he's already fulfilled in Tzilusa. It's possible that the mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos now takes on two dimensions, a double kiyum. It's a mitzvah of Kiddush. It adds to Zachar's Yom HaShavuos Lekadesho, and at the by being Mekadesh the Shabbos Le'inyan Mitzvos Bekumvaseh, he's already recited Kiddush relating to the Shamar aspect of Isur Malach. Now there's another Kiddush Shabbos B'Meloa U'B'Shlei Musa of Mitzvah Hayom, like Kibud V'Yoneg. That Kiddush is an act in which he sanctifies the day in its full-fledged form. And number two, most important, is the mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos is a kiyum of Suda Shabbos under the heading of Kibud V'Yoneg. And that's why, as we discussed earlier, Shmuel says in Psachim Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, Ein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda. It means the entire chalos of Kiddush, its kiyum, its essence, is, in the case of Kiddush Alakos, is in the halach of being Koveya Suda. But Makom Suda is to be Koveya Suda. Makom is always halach in Kviya Suda. And therefore, if a person is not Koveya his Suda immediately following Kiddush, the Kiddush is completely batel, it's null and void. The Kiddush is not a mitzvah unto itself, but rather it becomes integrated into one entity, one kiyum, indivisible, of Kiddush and Suda Shabbos. Therefore, as we discussed before, the prohibition against eating before Kiddush is because that's pogea, that undermines to some extent the mitzvah of Kiddush. You're already eating on Shabbos before Kiddush. And the mitzvah is to create a Suda Shabbos. You're eating something on Shabbos that's not a Suda Shabbos. So every achil on Shabbos generates a chiv to be upgraded to the level and to the status of a Suda Shabbos. All your achilas on Shabbos should be somehow integrated into this entity. And you haven't kicked off a Suda Shabbos without Kiddush. Again, what happens once you've already made Kiddush and you've already been Koveya Suda? What happens with the rest of the achilas of Shabbos? That's going to be a discussion in a few minutes. We'll get back to that, Amir Tzashem. But suffice it to say that before the first Kiddush, any achila without Kiddush is a fisfus, it's a bittel, it's a forfeiting of the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, because that achila is left like a body without a head, without the Kiddush as the head that generates the status of a Kviya Suda Shabbos. So his achila is really a regular achila, an achila schol. So therefore the mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos requires that the Kiddush be the Koveya and the Poseach. It's the opening, it's the kickoff, as we said before, of the Chalos Suda Shabbos for the mitzvah of Echlu Ayom of Oneg Shabbos. And now we begin to understand how this connects to the statement that we quoted earlier of Rav Achai Gon, the Teisei Sudasa B'Yikar the Shabbos. The Sud itself has to be brought out to the table, L'chvod Shabbos. That's also a dimension and an expression of this mitzvah, of this din of creating a Suda Shabbos. By bringing out the Suda to the table, L'chvod Shabbos, it becomes a Suda Shabbos. You inject again into the Suda the personality of Suda Shabbos. The food itself is different. It's got a Chal Hashem Suda Shabbos to it. And therefore, in the light of this discussion, we can surely begin to understand the three-way machlokas tanoim in the Gemara in Psachim Kuf Amid Aleph that we discussed earlier. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that once you began a Suda on Chol, and it was established as a Suda Schol, it continues. It doesn't matter if now it's Shabbos. That Suda has its complexion. It's a Suda's Chol, and it continues as such. Because the beginning of the Suda and its Kviyus determines the complexion of the Suda. We don't have to change the nature of that Suda and convert it to a Suda Shabbos. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, Ein Mafsikim. We'll explain Rabbi Yossi at greater length a little bit later on in Mirtz Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that once the Chiyuv of Shabbos and Suda Shabbos and Kiddush of Shabbos emerges with Mishatechshach, one is obligated to convert his Suda into a Suda Shabbos. He's not permitted to continue an Achila, which is an Achilas Chol. But the problem is, Rabbi Yehuda says that in this case, stopping in the middle of the Suda and reciting Kiddush would not be powerful enough to convert the Suda from that of a Suda's Chol to a Suda Shabbos. If you're beginning a Suda on Shabbos, if the Suda doesn't have a complexion, then and only then Kiddush has the power to generate a Suda Shabbos. However, if you've already set up the Suda Mibod Yom, and the Suda now has the complexion of a Suda's Chol, that Suda can never ever become a Suda Shabbos. For one Suda, one continuous Suda, to have a dual complexion, to be considered and defined on the one end as a Suda's Chol based on its Haschol and its Kviyus, and on the other end through Kiddush, to now convert to become a Suda Shabbos, and that one same Suda will have the status of both a Suda Shabbos, a Suda's Chol b'tchilasa, and a Suda Shabbos b'sofa, that's impossible. Those are two antithetical definitions that cannot coexist in the same suit at the same time. This reminds me of what the Rav once discussed about a person fulfilling both Avelus and Simchas HaChag, Simchas Yontif, at the same time, when Avelus coincides with and confronts Yontif. They cannot coexist. And here too, a Suda's Chol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, cannot coexist with the Suda Shabbos. Therefore, you have no other option. On the one hand, the Torah says that now it's Shabbos, you have to fulfill a mitzvah Suda Shabbos. So you need Kiddush, and you need Suda. And that mitzvah has to be fulfilled. You can't delay it. But on the other hand, you're in the middle, you're in the midst of a Suda's Chol. There's no way out, there's no option other than to terminate your Suda's Chol immediately through Akiras Shulchan, through Birkas HaMazon. And now you have a Siyum, you've made a Siyum on Suda's Chol. You now can start a new slate. By reciting Kiddush and eating your Suda, you establish a Suda's Shabbos. So the Suda's Chol is complete, it's gone, and now what emerges is a Suda Shabbos. The third Shita, on the other hand, is the Shita of Pores Mapa Umakadesh. And this Shita holds that, yes, Rabbi Yud is correct, we need to set up a Suda's Shabbos. And Rabbi Yud is correct that we have to somehow make a hefsek between the Suda's Chol and the Suda's Shabbos. However, we don't need to go as far as to terminate the Suda's Chol completely with Akiras Shulchan and Birkas HaMazon. Rashi says on Imsachim Daf Kufayim and Beis, Lo Tzrichuso LaHafsik BaAkiras Shulchan Kedei LaHavdil Bein Suda's Chol LeSuda Shabbos. In other words, the Chashivas of Shabbos, together with the Kiddush, is enough to set up the second half of Shabbos, of your Suda, as a Suda Shabbos, in one condition, that you make some sort of a Mechitza, some sort of a Hefsek, that separates the first part of your Suda, namely the Suda's Chol, with the second part of your Suda, namely a Suda Shabbos. That's the Shita of Pores Mapa B'Kadosh. By covering the Suda and then reciting Kiddush and then exposing the Suda, we say that the second half of the Suda takes on the complexion of Kavod Shabbos, of Oneg Shabbos. The Kiddush was recited. There's no need to terminate the original Suda. But keep in mind that this Shita fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in principle that now that it's Shabbos, it's Chashecha, you must fulfill your mitzvah kiddush. Not going as far as Rabbi Yehuda and requiring an absolute termination of your suda. Therefore, our question from the Tilas Lulav, we asked before, if in the middle of your suda on the first day of Sukkot, you had access to a lulav, don't you have to terminate your suda bench and take the lulav? The answer is no. Because there's no relationship between suda on yontif and the mitzvah of lulav. There's no need to terminate your suda, take the lulav and start a brand new suda. The lulav doesn't represent in any way a contradiction to sudas yontif. Masha'enkein, the case of kiddush, where in order to fill that mitzvah you have to shift and make a transition from a sudas chol to a sudas shabbos. The whole essence of kiddush is to establish the complexion of the sudas and sudas shabbos. That kviyus cannot be possible once the suda was already nikba, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as a sudas shabbos. Now, at this point, I would like to refer back to something that we discussed in the first shiur, and that is the sugya in Brachas and Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis that vacillates back and forth about Rav, whether he recited Kiddush Alakos Mibod Yom after Tosefes Shabbos. The maskan of the sugya is that he could recite Kiddush Alakos at that period of time, even before Chashecha, because of Tosefes Shabbos. I think we would define it in terms of the Rav the following way. Tosefes Shabbos generates a full-fledged Kedusha Shabbos. So again, we want to maintain both principles and reconcile them. Principle number one, that the purpose of Kiddush Alakos is to be Koveya Suda Shabbos. And then principle number two, that there's a possibility of being Koveya Suda Shabbos Mibod Yom at the time of Tosefes Shabbos. The Maskot of the Gemara is Rav, not only Tzoli Shal Erev Shabbos, but also is Mekali Shal Kos on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, we have to generate a third principle that says that Tosefes Shabbos has the power of engendering a Kedusha Shabbos even as far as Suda Shabbos is concerned. So Tosefes Shabbos is not just a partial creation of a Kedusha Shabbos L'inyan Yisr Malach, as we discussed, but the Gemara accepts the other possibility that you can take part of a day after Plaga Mincha on Erev Shabbos and convert it into a Cheftza of Shabbos Mamish. There is, however, another way of understanding the Maskona Sasugya, and that could be that Enochinami, the mitzvah of Oneg, cannot be fulfilled Mibod Yom. Tosefes Shabbos does not have the power to convert Chol into Kodesh as far as the mitzvahs of Oneg and Kibud are concerned, but rather what you can do is you can be Koveya a Su'udah Shabbos, and that becomes possible based on the partial Kedusha Tayom, which was engendered by Tosefes Shabbos. Namely, the Kedusha Tayom of Isur Melacha is enough, not for the mitzvah of Oneg, but to be Koveya a Suda Shabbos. So when the Gemara comes to the Maskona that yes, Rav could and did recite Kiddush Alakos at that time period of Tosefes Shabbos, it means he was able to be Koveya Suda, and this Suda will become a Suda Shabbos. And even though it's not yet Shabbos in the full sense, it's enough of Shabbos in order to create a Suda Shabbos. The kiyum, however, of an achila of Suda Shabbos will only come into fruition later on, after Chashecha. Because again, only after Chashecha, Mishetechshach, then Shabbos emerges in its full, sophisticated form, in its full grandeur and glory, and generate a mitzvah of Oneg and Suda Shabbos. And that's the sheet of the Sefer Chassidim, and you'll see this brought down in the Poskim, that if, let's say in the summer months, when we're Noeg to come back from Shul early, after being Mekabel Shabbos, and it's still Mibod Yom, we're ready to sit down and eat a Suda,
then we would have to be makpid that after dark we have to eat part of Asuda, enough of Asuda, so that we have a kiyum of Onik Shabbos. Let's get back to our discussion about the relationship between Kiddush ala Yayin and Kiddush ala Pas. If you recall, the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuvava and Beis tells us that sometimes Rav would make Kiddush on Pas, Zinin de Chaviva le Rifta, Mekadosh Arifta. But other times he was Mekadosh on wine. And the question is, since the mitzvah of Kiddush, Midivrei Sofrim, the way the Rambam formulates it, is on Yayin, how does he fulfill that same mitzvah on Pas? Just because Pas is Chaviva le, so what? The answer is that we have to redefine the Takana Midivrei Sofrim. The Takana Midivrei Sofrim is that we have to hook up the Kiddush with the Suda in order so that we can create a Suda Shabbos. And now, as we said before, Kiddush and Suda are integrated into one entity, one Kiyum, because the Kiddush is Koveya L'chal Hashem Suda Shabbos. There are two possible ways in which he can create, through Kiddush, a Suda Shabbos. What are those two ways? Right. Number one, through Yayin. Number two, through Pas. If he's Koveya his Suda through Yayin, then the Rav said, that itself links the Kiddush to the Suda. The fact that he recites Kiddush on wine, Yayin has the power of Kviya Suda. There's something called a Suda that's Nikbas al Yayin. The Rav didn't go into detail about this. Where do we find a source, a basis for Kviya Suda al Yayin? Does that apply the whole year round? And in Ma'inaf Gemina. But here in Shabbos, it has a tremendous impact. And the repercussions of Yayin as a Koveya Suda allow us to be Mekadesh on a Kos Yayin. But then there's another possibility. Since universally we know that Pas is the essence of a Suda, it's Koveya Suda, he can recite Kiddush ala Pas, and through that create this new entity called Kiddush and Suda. In other words, if a person is Mekadosh al Yayin, that's one way. If he's Mekadosh on Pas, on another way. The advantage of being Mekadosh al Yayin is that in addition to fulfilling the mitzvah of creating that new entity called Kiddush Suda Shabbos, he also has another cue, what's called Shira al Yayin. That fulfillment of Shira al Yayin he would have to forfeit in the case of Kiddush al Pas. But on the other hand, there's an inyan of Chavivus, and if Pas at this point is Chavivale, then he can forfeit the kium of Shir al Yayin in favor of the kium of Kiddush al Pas de Chavivale. Now the Rav did not go into detail about what the significance of Chavivus is. He only established that in both Yayin and Pas, the Maisa Kiddush is enough to set up a Kviya Suda Shabbos. And nothing's lacking as far as that dimension of being Koveya Suda Shabbos. Nothing's lacking in the case of Pas. What he's lacking, what he's missing, is the opportunity of Shira. And that Kiyum Shira is limited to Yayin. Now, why would that Kiyum Shira be forfeited for the sake of Chavivus of Pas? That the Rav doesn't address. We would think that the Halak of Chavivus is a Tosefis Kiyum in Birchas HaNehanim, to be Matir Achiyu. In other words, if you have two foodstuffs in front of you, you would choose the one that's Chaviv, so that you enhance the Kiyum Bracha in Birchas HaNehanim. So when you say Amotzi Lech Min Haaretz on Pasta Chavivale, that adds another Kiyum to Birchas HaNehanim. But why would that Kiyum be enough to trump the Kiyum of Shir Al Yayin that the Rav doesn't address? In the light of this discussion, we can begin to understand what the Gemara meant when it said that on Erev Shabbos there is a double mitzvah of Kiddush. In addition to Kiddush B'Tzilusa,
there's a mitzvah of Kiddush al HaKos to designate the Seudah as a Seudah Shabbos. And the Gemara doesn't know if you can do such a thing, Mibodjom. As we saw, the Gemara vacillates back and forth in Brachas Chav Zayin on this point. But it also makes sense now to understand Rashi Shita, because Rashi on the one hand, and this is in Sefer HaParadeis, Rashi holds that Kiddush HaYom on Yayin is Dvar Torah, is a Doraisa. This is against all other Rishonim who hold the Kiddush Ala Yayin is only Midivrei Sofrim. Nevertheless, Rashi also agrees that there's a possibility of being Mekadosh Ala Pas. So how do you reconcile those two statements of Rashi? And the answer is, just like we said in the Rambam, is that the mitzvah is not Yayin. When Rambam and Rashi say that the mitzvah, whether it's Doraisa according to Rashi, according to the Rambam, it's Midivrei Sofrim, is to be Mekadosh Al Yayin, what they mean is to be Koveh Suda Al Yayin. The mitzvah is not Yayin. Yayin is only a vehicle, is only a means to an end, namely to be Koveh Suda. Therefore, whether it's Yayin or Pas, you fulfill the same mitzvah, according to Rashi Doraisa, and according to the Rambam, Midivrei Sofrim. So again, if we define the mitzvah of Suda, of Kiddush al Yayin, as a mitzvah of being Koveh Suda Shabbos, then that mitzvah, whether it's Doraisa or Darabona, can be fulfilled just as well on Pas, because you could be Koveh a Suda Shabbos al Pas when it follows Kiddush. And now we begin to understand the halacha and the status of Kiddusha Rabbah, which, as we said earlier, is a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Whereas the Rambam holds that the obligation of Kiddush to be Koveh Suda Shabbos applies not only at night, but also during the day. Meaning, even though you already recited Kiddush B'Knisas Hayom at night, and you were already Koveh through that Kiddush of Friday night, Eichal Shem Suda Shabbos, nevertheless, that Koveh of Suda Shabbos is Koveh Suda's Laila of Shabbos, not Suda's Yom of Shabbos. The Rambam holds that Suda's Laila is one Chalashem and Suda's Yom is another Chalashem, and each one needs a Koveh. Therefore, the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Kiddusha Rabbah is identical to the mitzvah of Kiddush at night, Alakos. Both have the same goal and the same essential definition, namely, to set up a Suda Shabbos. On Friday night, you set up a Suda's Laila of Shabbos. On the day, you say the Suda's Yom of Shabbos. And both Sudos, whether it be Laila or Yom, are generated by Kiddush. Kiddush at night and Kiddush by day. So the Rambam will apply all the rules and regulations of Kiddush at night to Kiddush by day. Before Kiddush by day, you would not be permitted to eat, because you'd be eating an achila without a kviyas Suda Shabbos, in this case Suda Shabbos Shel Yom. Then Kiddush would have to be by day, b'makom Suda, just as it is at night. The Rav did not address the question of Suda Shlishis, whether that too needs a kviyas. The Rambam speaks about Yayin with regard to Suda Shlishis. Perhaps the Rambam requires a third chaloshev of Suda Shlishis of Shabbos, and that also requires some sort of quasi Kiddush. The Ravid, on the other hand, said the Rav, disagrees fundamentally, and he holds that Kiddush by day is not Shaykh. There's no concept of Kiddush, the purpose of which is to engender a personality, a Chalshem of Suda Shabbos. You've already recited Kiddush at night. You've already been Koveya a Chalshem Suda Shabbos at night. That Kvius is chal for all the Sudas of Shabbos, for all the Achilus of Shabbos. There's no separate requirement that each Suda of Shabbos needs its own Maisa to be Koveyed as a Suda of Shabbos, to establish it and set it up as a Suda of Shabbos. Once you Kovey the first Suda through Kiddush at night, Mimela, all the other Sudas of Shabbos automatically take on the nature of Suda Shabbos, that personality. There's no need for establishing another Kiddush to do so. Even though Chazal, based on the word S, Yom HaShabbos, the S comes as a ribui for Kiddusha Rabbah, the Kiddush on Yom, and the Ravid doesn't deny that. That is an Asmachta. But what that halacha is merely to set up a bracha al Yayin Perhaps the Kiyum Shir al Yayin on Shabbos is an additional mitzvah that should be fulfilled. Perhaps, if that be the case, then the rabbi would certainly prefer that Kiddush by day be on Yayin rather than Pas. That has to be studied. Because if we hold that there's no Kiyum Shira, as we said earlier, on Pas, but only on Yayin, then maybe if Kiddusha Rabbah is some sort of halach of Sidur Bracha, Sidur Shira, during the day, it's not a separate halach to be koveh the Sidur Shabbos, perhaps Yayin would be preferable. But the bottom line is that according to the Ravid, there's no Kiyum of Kvidah Suda involved in Kiddusha Rabbah, the Kiddush of the day. And therefore, there's no halacha of Kiddush Mekom Suda. Therefore, there's no, we're not enjoined from eating before Kiddush. All those rules and regulations are only relevant to Kiddush at night, insofar as Kiddush Balayla requires is required to set up a Suda Shabbos. But by day, you've already set up your Suda Shabbos. You don't need to set it up. Therefore, those halachas that link up Kiddush with Suda completely fall by the wayside. It would be interesting to note that according to the Shitas Haravid, if you didn't get an opportunity to be Mekadesh ala Kospa Laila, then perhaps all the halachas of Kiddush that apply at night would apply by day. Because again, you never had the Kiddush to be Koveh the Suda, so how would the second Suda, that of Shabbos by day, be established as a Suda Shabbos? You would need a Kiddush, which would have to be Makom Suda, and all the Dinim would apply. The Rav did not go into detail about the Shoresh, about the root of the controversy between the Rambam and the Ravid. What are they really arguing about? I understand. The Ravid says that once you koveh Suda with Kiddush at the beginning of Shabbos, all the Sudas of Shabbos are Nikvu. And the Rambam says, no, each Suda requires its own koveh. What's it all about? Perhaps the thought occurred to me that the machlokus is whether there's one mitzvah of Suda Shabbos or there are three different mitzvahs. Meaning, when we come to fulfill the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, of Echlu Ayom, of Suda Shabbos, is every Suda an entity unto itself, or should we view all three Sudas as one entity? Be that as it may, the Rav now, at this point, has a long discussion about the status of A, the Shtias HaKos of Kiddush. In other words, when there's a mitzvah of Kiddush HaKos, let's say by night and by day according to the Rambam, or at least by night according to the Ravid, what role does the drinking of the kos apply? We know that in Shulchan Aruch, if you spill the kos after Kiddush without drinking it, you have to recite Kiddush again. Why does Shtias HaKos play such an important role in the midst of Kiddush? And then the Rav goes on to discuss another issue about the Bari Pri HaGofen. Is the Bari Pri HaGofen in Kiddush simply a Birchas HaNenim classic, universal, or does it take on a new complexion and becomes integrated into the midst of Kiddush? So on the first question, the Rav said simply, in light of our discussion about Kiddush and the nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush, its goal being to be Koveh Suda, then the Shtias HaKos is integral and essential to the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's not sufficient to organize a recitation, what's called Sidur Amiris Dvarim, ala Yayin. You need Shtia. It couldn't be otherwise, because unless the Kiddush itself somehow becomes part and parcel of the Suda, the Kiddush doesn't have the power to link up to the Suda and determine its status in gendering a Suda Shabbos. So therefore the Kiddush has to be part of the Suda. By what means do we convert the Kiddush into the Suda itself, so that now the Kiddush could be koveh the Suda as a Suda's Shabbos? The answer is through the drinking of the kos. It's not enough to recite Kiddush, but we need the Yayin as a Maisa of being koveh the Suda. Now, how could the Yayin be koveh the Suda unless he drinks the wine? There has to be a Kviyas al Yayin. A Kviyas al Yayin means that he's involved in Shtias al Yayin. And therefore, Shtia, the drinking, is Migufa Shal Mitzvah's Kiddush. It is part
and parcel of the essence of the mitzvah act of Kiddush. The Birchas Bori Pri HaGafen in of itself is not Koveya the Suda, but rather the Shtia is Koveya the Suda. The Shtia, the act of drinking, allows the Suda to emerge as a reality. And in this sense, the case of Kiddush is different and unique in comparison to every other kosher bracha. Every other kosher bracha, the mitzvah exhausts itself in Seder Shevach Alakos. We organize and we recite words of praise to Almighty God on a cup of wine. Because the halacha, the principle is, Ein Omrim Shira El Alayayin. However, the drinking of the cup itself is not part of the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is, as we said, Shevach Alayayin. It's not the creating of a Suda. So therefore, in every other kosher bracha, the essence of the mitzvah is the amira, but in the case of Kiddush al Yayin, the essence of the amira is twofold. It's a duality. It's not only the amira, but also the shtia. The seder bracha and the shtia together, integrated as one whole, defines the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, and through it, the Suda of Shabbos is established. Now, you might ask the following question. Who's going to drink from the kos of yayin? Let's say that, for argument's sake, the Mekadesh himself will drink from the kos. But the other people at the table, who are yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush, they themselves are not personally involved in drinking from the kos. Now, in the case of Dalit Kosos on Leil Pesach, the Rambam establishes in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin that every single member of the group has to drink his kos, four kosos. So you see that when shtia is part of the mitzvah, it's a personal obligation. There's no din of shomer kohen, there's no shlichus. You have to do it begufcha. The shtia has to be done. So you might ask, if we're defining shtia in Kiddush on Leil Shabbos as an essential, integral part of the mitzvah of Kiddush, that every single member of the group should have to drink his own kos. We'd have to buy a lot of wine, as we do on Leil Pesach. So the Rav said that there's a fundamental distinction between the two cases. In the case of Leil Pesach, the mitzvah is drinking four cups of wine. That is the mitzvah. The drinking doesn't establish any new entity. It's not establishing a new suda. The gufa shel mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, is the shtia derech eros. However, in contradistinction, the case of shtia and kiddush is not a separate ma'aseh mitzvah, independent unto itself, but rather it's part and parcel of generating a chal shem suda Shabbos. The kiddush is the koveh of that suda. The shtia is part of that suda and engenders a chefza of suda Shabbos, but the shtia is not significant as a Maisa Shtia Sagavra. I mean, here's a classical brisker distinction between Gavra and Cheftza that the Rav is making. He's saying that whereas the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos is a Maisa Shtia Sagavra, the Kiyum is in the Gavra, in the case of Shtias Kos Shel Kiddush, it's part of the, and the essential goal is the Cheftza of the Suda. Therefore, once the Mekadesh drinks from the kos, that's enough to kick off this Suda and to precipitate, to engender the Chal Hashem Suda Shabbos on behalf of everyone. Everyone who's part and parcel of this Chabura now enjoys the benefit of a Chal Hashem Sudas Shabbos. Let's take a break for a minute and go back before we continue and to discuss the halacha of Shtias HaKos in Kiddush and the halacha of Bor Pri HaGafen. I would like to take a little break and go back to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, if you recall, held that if you began a Suda Mibod Yom on Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to complete that Suda and to recite Kiddush at the end. You don't require that the Kiddush come before a Suda Shabbos. Now, if you notice, if you're meticulous about reading the text and the statement of Rabbi Yossi, you'll see that he speaks about a chabura, a group of people that began their Suda on Friday. Let's raise the following possibility, that if it was an individual, if it was a yachid and not a chabura, then it's very, very possible that it's possible that Rabbi Yossi would agree that in a case of yachid, where he will drink the wine, he'll drink from the kus, then maybe Rabbi Yossi would hold that in such a case, his shia of a kus would be linked up with the suda. In other words, we want to prove for Rabbi Yossi that ein kiddush, the halach of ein kiddush ela b'makom suda doesn't apply. He's already completed his suda, then he recites kiddush. There's no suda that follows. That's not necessarily so. It could be that in the case of a chabura, if they continue their suda and they recite kiddush at the end, that might be a different situation than the case of a yachid. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi expressed himself in terms of a chabura. In the case of a yachid, that he himself is drinking from the kus, maybe that itself establishes a kind of a suda. So when the chabura continues their suda, then you might say that at some point the kiddush could relate to the suda. But if a yachid is in the same predicament, then maybe Enochinami, his kiddush is b'makom suda, he completes his suda's chol, and then he recites kiddush and drinks from the kos, that itself makes the kiddush b'makom suda. Okay, let's get back to the discussion at hand. The sheet of the Gaonim is that the Mekadesh himself has to drink Moli Lugma from the kos shel kiddush. It's not enough if the other Mesubim at the table would drink from the kos shel kiddush. We must require that the Mekadesh drink this Moli Lugma from the kos. And the Tur in Orachaim, Simon Reishayin Aleph, quotes the Gaonim. The Mechaber in Simon Reishayin Aleph paskins like the Gaonim lahalacha. And we don't find this halacha with regard to any other kos shel bracha. For example, the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem Amid Beis, with regard to what's called a kos shel zman, says liyasve liyinuka, you can give it to a child. Here in Kiddush, we have this halacha, according to the Gaonim, that the Mekadesh himself has to drink. And this would prove our premise that with regard to another kos shel bracha, all you need is some sort of shtia. But there's a separate halacha in Kiddush of shtias kos shel kiddush, and the Gaonim hold that after the Mekadesh, he and only he can achieve that shtia as an integral part of Kiddush. And again, why is shtia an integral part of Kiddush? Because the shtia is itself the kviya suda that allows the Kiddush to set up the suda that follows as a suda shabbos. The Rav quotes father in the name of Reb Chaim that Birchas Bori Priya Gofen is an integral part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's not just a bracha on Hana, a Birchas Hanenim, but it's an integral part of the entire constellation of brachos that make up Kiddush. So therefore, if a person were to recite Kiddush without reciting the bracha of Bar Pri HaGofen, according to Reb Chaim, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah, even if he would go ahead and drink from the kos without a bracha. In a different Yahrzeit Shia, the Rav explained the sheet of Reb Chaim at great length. But for our purposes here, what the Rav wanted to derive from this is an insight as to why Bar Pri HaGofen becomes part of Kiddush. And the answer is, since you need the Bari Pri HaGofen to set up the Suda, so now the Bari Pri HaGofen is related to the whole function and essence of Kiddush to set up a Suda. Without the Bari Pri HaGofen, you cannot set up the Suda. And at this point, the Rav quotes a fascinating Machlokes Rishonim between the Baal Amor and the Raiv and the Ramban and Milchames and Psochem Daf Kuf Hamed Aleph. It's also on Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. In Tosus Divir Maskel Rav Ashi, in the Rosh, in the last parak of Pesachim in Siman Beis, a whole tumult here about a person who began his Suda on Friday, that the classical case of Hischil Sudas Merav Shabbos, he already recited his Bar Pri Agafen on the Yayin that he drank on Friday in his Suda Schol. Does he have to repeat that Bar Pri Agafen again if he does the Paris Mapa Makadish scenario in order to recite Kiddush halfway through that Suda? So in other words, he's already recited Bar Pri Agafen, he doesn't need a Birchas Hananim. Does he need another brach of Bar Pri Agafen as part and parcel of Kiddush? Now, those Rishonim who require a second brach are very difficult. If the whole purpose of Bar Pri Agafen is Nehanim, why would he recite another Birchas Hanenim in the middle of the same exact Suda? The answer must be, the way we said it before, that the brach itself, Reb Chaim Shita, the brach itself is an essential part of Kiddush. And there's no Kiddush without the bracha. Rashi in Brachas on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph says the following: Shani Yayin de Goreim Bracha Li Atzmo Bekama Mekomos Hu Ba Umevarchin Ola V'Afal Pishlo Yitzrichen Lishtoso. I mean, Rashi is trying to point out that Bar Pri Agafen has a unique status in Halacha, and it's not always a Birchas Hanenet. Now, Tosus' Shita, based on the Yishalmi, is that in this particular scenario that we're addressing, he does not repeat Bar Pri Agafen. The Rav says, don't be misled and attracted to the conclusion that according to Tosfos, the brach of Bar Pri Agafen against Reb Chaim is not part of the essence, the kishkis of Kiddush. Even Tosfos would agree that Bar Pri Agafen is part of Kiddush, but they hold that when, under what circumstances is Bar Pri Agafen a necessary integral part of Kiddush? That's where we need the Bar Pri Agafen in order to set up the Suda. If you could set up a Suda without the Bar Pri Agafen, meaning first Bar Pri Agafen has to pass the test of being a Birchas Hanenim. Once it's required as a Birchas Hanenim, then and only then, according to Tosus, does it emerge as an essential integral part of Kiddush. If he already recited Bar Pri Agafen, now he's allowed to drink the wine, so as far as Kiddush setting up a Suda, he doesn't need the Bar Pri Agafen. The Kiddush now is enough to be mater the Suda, to allow him to eat the Suda without the Bar Pri Agafen. So the Kiddush is recited on the Yayin, the Shtiyas HaYayin itself sets up the linkage between the Kiddush and the Suda, and the Kiddush achieves its goal to set up and create a Chal Hashem Suda Shabbos. In other words, the essential element to set up the linkage between the Suda, between the Kiddush and the Suda, is the Shtiyas HaYayin. To the extent to which I need the Bar Pri Agafen as a prerequisite to set up the Shtiya, to set up the Heta Shtiya, then the Bar Pri Agafen itself becomes integrated into the Kiyum of Kiddush. But Lu Yitzur, if we have a situation where he doesn't need the Bar Pri Agafen in order to drink his kos, and he can set up therefore the linkage between the Kiddush and the Suda through Shtiyas kos without Bar Pri Agafen, then the Bar Pri Agafen is unnecessary, and since Petorah's Birchas Hanenim has already recited it, there's no need to repeat it. And the Rav concluded this part of the Shia by, it would seem, from the Psak of the Ramah in Arachayim, Siman Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Yud, and Siman Reish Tzarivav Sif Vav, that those who have a minig of standing for Avdullah nevertheless sit for Kiddush. Now, Lechora, it's not logical. Either you stand for both or you sit for both. But the answer is that there's a fundamental difference here between Kiddush and Avdullah. Havdalah does not require a bracha of Bar Pri Agafen. That's not part of, I mean, there is a Bar Pri Agafen, but it's not an essential part of the mitzvah. It's only a Birchas Hanenim in order to be matir the Shtiyah. Whereas Kiddush, Bar Pri Agafen, in addition to being a Birchas Hanenim, is an integral part of the Kiddush. Now, with regard to Bar Pri Agafen as an integral part of the Kiddush, insofar as it sets up a Suda Shabbos, then we all together want to be Yotze that Kvius
of setting up the Suda together as a group of Suda Shabbos. So those who are around want to be part of a unit, and for that we need Haseba. Haseba in our time is sitting. So therefore we need sitting at the time of Kiddush. And the Rav quoted the Sefer HaPardes of Rashi that according to one opinion, if he recites Havdalah in the middle of a Suda, he would require Bori Pira Gofen, and the Lashon is Mishum, Di Omar, Di Yesh Havdalah below Suda, Kshu Soed Nami Lo Batla Birchas Hayayin, Shi Birchas Suda. So, Emir Tashem, Bli Neder, at some other point, we're going to talk about this particular Shita that seems to require a Bori Pira Gofen in the middle of a Suda, even in the case of Havdalah. Perhaps that's a different definition of the bracha of Bar Pirak Gofen in Havdalah, and B'li Neder, we'll leave that for another time. Next Shia will be next week, Emir Tzashem, on the topic of Havdalah, which is the second half of this Yahrzeit Shia. Emir Tzashem, thank you very much, we'll see you then.